Take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Pastor's been going over Nehemiah in the last few weeks on Thursday. I want to pick up where we've left off in Sunday school the last couple weeks. The last couple weeks in our Sunday school, we've taught about Nehemiah. Of course, the reason we're going through Nehemiah is because the key verse is Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15, where it says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days." And of course, Nehemiah, God used Nehemiah to accomplish a really daunting task in a very short period of time. They totally rebuilt the wall in 52 days. And it was just an incredible thing. And so we're trying to look at that. We are in the middle of building. And it's the process has been ongoing since really before 2006. But the physical part really in the last year has taken shape, and it's exciting to see what's going on. But we're looking at that. As we look last couple weeks in Sunday school, we looked at some opposition that they faced. In chapter 4, we saw that there was some external opposition. There were some folks there that were not happy that they came to build the wall, and so they tried some things to strike fear into the hearts of the Jews and to do some other things. We saw that that didn't really work. We saw in chapter 5 that there was even an even worse enemy, which was internal opposition. Their own people were causing them to be discouraged, were causing them to literally taking advantage of them as they were building the wall. And so we saw that. In chapter 6, we're going to see here that there's some opposition that comes to Nehemiah personally. So we'll read several verses in Nehemiah chapter 6. We'll start at verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, and they thought to do me mischief." They're getting close. The wall's coming together. Really, all that's left at this point is the gates that need to be fixed. And so the enemies are going to take a direct approach, and they're going to go after Nehemiah personally. They try to get him to come to a meeting. "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" He says, "I ain't coming. Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen." So they come with this letter, and they're gonna make some false accusations here. "It's reported among the heathen, and Geshemu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together." So they use this false letter and these accusations to try again to get them to come to a meeting so they can mess with them and try to cause the work to cease. "Then I said unto them, saying, There are no such things as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all make us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." And I like that in the book of Nehemiah. Whenever stuff was going on, he would just stop where he's at and shoot a quick prayer to God. Okay, that's what it means. Bible means why we shouldn't cease to pray. At any time, we can just stop and commune with our Father. "Afterwards, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Methahabil, who was shut up, and he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yet in the night will they come to slay thee." Now you got a prophet getting involved, tell him to come hide in the temple. "And he said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." He was lying. He was paid to try to get him in. "Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that there might have a matter for an evil report, and that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Another quick prayer to God. And then he gets to this point. So the wall was finished the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes because they couldn't stop it. For they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at this, Lord, it's not just about the building. It's about opposition we all face in life. Lord, whether it's from outside influences, unsaved individuals, whether it's from individuals we know who know the Lord but yet are misdirected, maybe sometimes our own heart even gets involved and starts causing us to doubt some things. I pray as we look at these things tonight that you would just teach us a few things and help us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. The wall is about done, as we mentioned earlier. All that really remained to be done with the wall is get the gates up and then get the folks inside to get them inside the walls and get the community back together. They had already tried to attack the Jews externally. The Jews had had some problems internally. Now they take a direct approach. We're going to go after Nehemiah personally. Okay, they understood that if they could get the guy in charge, they could probably cause the whole work to come to a halt, even though they were pretty close to an end, to the end. By the way, let me say this. Pastor's out of town, and I don't need to take up for him, but, you know, we do need to cut Pastor some slack. You know that in any organization, whether it's a church or a business, the leader always takes the bullets. You can do no right, okay? And we understand how that is. You know, if he doesn't do something, he gets blamed for not doing something. If he does do something, why did you do that? If he does something too fast, why didn't you wait? If he waits, why did you wait so long? It's a tough position in leadership, particularly in spiritual leadership. So let's make sure that we are behind him and help him out. Pastor's not reckless. Pastor's not any of those things. Okay, he's very trustworthy. And so as we're going through this thing, let's get behind him and help him. And we do that, and I'm not throwing that out there, but let's just work on that. Let's just work together on that. And so that's what happens. Now, the enemy, their whole goal is to get fear into the people. And in this case, they were trying to get fear into Nehemiah. By the way, fear is the opposite of faith. Okay, and so they know if they could get him fearful for his own life, his own reputation, and some of the other things we're going to look at, that would take his focus off of what he was supposed to be doing, which was finishing and rebuilding the wall. And so I want to look at some things. I want to look at the opposition here. I want to look, first of all, at their attacks. Their attacks. Whenever you do anything of any spiritual value or attempt to do anything of any spiritual value, we do have a spiritual enemy, Satan. There's going to be some opposition. Now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, there's going to be some things you're going to have to fight through. There's going to be some things that come your way you're just going to have to deal with and go through. As a church, as we look even over over the history of our church, not even just the building project, there are things we've had to overcome. There are things we've had to just go through. That's just part of life. It's part of it's everything. The only way to avoid being attacked is to do nothing. If you do nothing, there's no need to attack you. But those that are at the forefront trying to live for God, trying to serve God, you're putting yourself on the forefront and you might be attacked. If you look around our society today, attacks come from everywhere. Christianity is under attack. Our country was not founded by a bunch of hardcore Christians, but for the most part, they were Christians. And even those that were not Christians had respect for the Bible and the morality and the views of Christianity and understood that Christianity was vital to the success of our country. It's funny how they say your founding fathers were not Christians, but yet a major majority of them had divinity degrees. But if you listen to history, they're going to tell you, no, they were all a bunch of atheists. Why in the world would atheists have divinity degrees? It's a lie. The first Bibles printed on American soil were commissioned and paid for by Congress. We were founded on Christian values. That's under attack today. We have atheists that attack. It used to be atheists like, I just don't believe there's a God. And you Christians are wrong. But there's a new brand of atheists, and they're out writing books, and they're very prolific. They're very well known. And they've twisted it now. It's not just that if you're a Christian, you're wrong. If you're a Christian, you're dangerous. It's a twist. Battles are everywhere. But our morality is under attack. Alternative lifestyle. It's not an alternative lifestyle. We get on homosexuality a lot, and we should, but immorality is just as wrong. What if it matters if it's just between a guy and a girl? But our society says, no big deal. It's not a big deal. Morality is under attack. The sad thing about that is the church is silent about it. We're not hateful. Someone gets up and says homosexuality is wrong, adultery is wrong, fornication is wrong. That's not hate. It's the truth of the Word of God. But because the enemy gets up and yells at us, we're afraid to say anything because we're unloving. There's nothing unloving about that. Now, some people do have a bad spirit about it sometimes, I must admit. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And just because someone says, they accuse you of something, doesn't mean you be quiet. And the church is quiet. And it's a shame. It's funny. We are called intolerant by people who are intolerant of us. So why should we back down? You know, being tolerant means that you have a right to believe what you want to believe, even if you're wrong. But we've changed it in society to mean that you have to be tolerant of my beliefs and you need to accept it as equally valid. It's a lie. But we do that. But you know, there's something that's even worse that we're under attack. We're under attack with our core beliefs. The church is attacking itself. Now, we have many names for it. The church has gotten more and more liberal as the years have went on. Used to be many years ago that they got together, and of course, because of science and so forth coming and attacking the Bible, we decided we wanted to know what the fundamentals of the faith were, so they came out with the fundamentals of the faith. And then a segment of evangelicals got together and said, well, our beliefs are right, but what's keeping people from the church is our standards, our beliefs on morality. So let's back off of that. We do have the right doctrine, but let's back off of that. Now it's changed. Now they're going to take it a step further. Now they're saying our doctrine is keeping people from coming. Let's change our doctrine. By the way, they call that the emergent church. And it's ridiculous. Christian beliefs are under attack. By the way, you know, as a Christian, you are responsible to know what you believe. And the reason we swallow that garbage is because we don't know what we believe. And we listen to some suave guy that looks cool. And we like what's going on at their church, but we don't bother to check out what their beliefs are. It's killing us. Read your New Testament. Read the epistles. Most of the things in the epistles deal with fighting false doctrine coming into the church. And it's everywhere. Don't just buy something because it looks hip. Don't just buy something because it looks cool. Look under the hood and see what the beliefs are. We have these guys. There's a guy out there, Rob Bell. He wrote a book, Velvet Elvis. And his whole premise in the book is he has this picture of Velvet Elvis. And he says that there are many different pictures of Elvis, and they're all different, and they show different views, but after all, they're all Elvis. And it doesn't matter what you believe spiritually as long as you believe in God. You may have this thought, you may have that thought. He came out and said that the virgin birth. What if we found out that Jesus was not virgin born? They came out, they found something, there was DNA evidence, and they found out Jesus had a father. He said, it's still the same Jesus. Can I just tell you something? That's garbage. You might want to actually crack that Bible open and read it. That means that Jesus was a man like anybody else. He had a father, he's a sinner, he couldn't die for our sins, he's not the second Adam. We're messed up. But see, people don't look under the hood. They're swallowing the lie. But we're being attacked everywhere, people. We need to be very careful. As we look at some of the attacks, let's look here what they did to Nehemiah. I want you to notice, first of all, the timing of their attack. When the ball was just about done, they intensified their attack. They went after the Jews, and that didn't work. They sat back, and they saw that the Jews were fighting amongst themselves or were taking advantage of themselves, and that didn't work. Now they said, let's go specifically after Nehemiah. Let's intensify. Why? The wall was almost done. You know, we have a tendency to let down sometimes when we think everything's just okay. We look at our Christian life, and we start to think, hey, things are starting to go all right. Everything's okay. We start to let our spiritual guard down. When we let your guard down, that's when the enemy comes in. We can never let our guard down. We must always be. Remember, I read a book one time by John Wooden. He was an old basketball coach. He gave an illustration when he was a young coach. He wasn't at UCLA yet. He was coaching somewhere else. He said he had this basketball player, best player on his team. He said this kid, he goes, the kid had an irritating habit. Every time he would score, he would look over to the coach for approval. The player said that every time he looked at John Wooden after he scored, he was always shaking his head like this. And it irritated him. One day he asked him, he said, how come every time I score, I look at you and you're shaking your head? And he said, because you're supposed to be playing defense. He's taking it easy because he had a basket. We think things are going well, we start to back off. That's usually when Satan slips in. We let our guard down. They were almost to the end, and he thought, got to stop them right now. So there's always a timing to it. I want you to notice their tactics. Verse 2, Sanballat and Gershon said, come, let us meet together in one of the villages of the plain of Ono. He says, hey, there are some things going on here. Why don't we get together and let's discuss it? Why in the world would you want to meet with them? Okay, you're not going to get the wall done by meeting with the enemy. By the way, you can't appease them anyhow, so why try? You know, let's just get together and see where we have. No, we're not going to get together. We got nothing in common. We love you. Go do your thing. We'll do our thing. But meetings accomplish nothing. A waste of time. They didn't want to meet with him. They wanted to pull him away from what he was doing. There's no interest. They wanted to move him off the wall. But their real thought was they wanted to cause him some trouble. They were after him. They wanted to cause him mischief. That was their real goal. They didn't want to see the wall finished. They wanted to cause harm. Also, I want you to see their tenacity. We're hurrying. I know it's a little late and we will not be long. So if you listen, I'll talk fast and we ought to get done. But I want you to notice the tenacity. Verse 4, yet they sent unto me 4 times. Then you read the next verse, it says, came back for a 5th time. You know, some people think just because they're persuasive, they're going to keep going. You almost have to just say, listen, stop. Now, I don't know about you. Our neighborhood, we get these guys coming to the door. They knock on the door. I'm trying to earn some points here and stay off the street. I'm trying to get a trip to Hawaii. One was our house like 3 weeks ago. I'm like, I'm eating dinner. I'm not interested. He didn't understand what the word no meant. Yeah, but I want to eat. And I don't want to be rude. But it's just like going on and on and on. I'm like, I'm done. No. Because most people they go to, if you bug them enough, it's just, all right, what are you selling? I'll buy it. Get out of here. I ain't doing that. In fact, I'm the type, maybe you're like, someone pressures me, I have a tendency just to want to say no automatically. Yeah, but you don't understand. No. You don't like chocolate cake? Actually, I do, but you're pressuring me, so no. You know, it's just, and that's the tactic of the enemy. They are tenacious. By the way, we're not. Thanks for the emails, Brother Ledwidge. You kill my day every day. He sends me those emails, and I read them, and I'm like, man, those people just don't give up. So we do. That's why they keep going. It's almost like Pete Rose. Pete Rose got kicked out of baseball for betting on his own team. The commissioner was a nice guy. He didn't come out and say it publicly. He was being nice. And for years, he denied it. I didn't bet. And he denied it so much, people started to feel sympathetic for him. The commissioner's a bad guy. He's picking on him. And then what happened? He needed some money, so he wrote a book, and guess what he said? I bet on baseball. But he knew that the word gullible, if you push something long enough, you usually get your way. Tenacity. The enemy tries to wear you down. Wear you down. Wear you down. You ever watch football? Sometimes a team's bigger than the other and it's close to the beginning, but the other team just keeps hitting them. And they eventually get tired. In the fourth quarter, it's like we wore them down. Now our size advantage is really going to come into play. The enemy just wears us down and we get tired. Tenacity. Why don't we be tenacious? Why don't we just say, this is what God wants for me, I'm here. I'm not leaving. You're not pushing me off my spot. I'm staying. And then I want you to notice the tail. This is good. Next one, the tail. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter. Say, hey, here's a letter. And it's telling a story. You got to check this out because it's making you look bad. They're going to tell a little story here. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen. And Gashmu saith it that thou, the Jews, think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall. He shows this letter with false accusations written on it to try to persuade him to come meet with him so he'll quit building the wall. By the way, being a Christian and trying to reach, you're going to be accused of stuff. It's going to happen. Right or wrong. People, it doesn't even that, it's anything. People just accuse you of something. They go sour on you, they this or that. You're accused of all kinds of stuff. Don't listen to the criticism. Now, sometimes people get upset with you and they tell you something, and you listen. Is there truth to it? Am I doing something? But sometimes, it's just not true. I had someone come to my office about 4 years ago, and I asked them to do something, and afterwards, it's like, and just went over 20 minutes of telling me things that I did wrong. One of the things that was mentioned, he said happened when a couple people were around, so I went to all the people that he said saw this, and I asked them, did I do this? Three of them. Not one of them. They said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, if they said it, I would take it to heart. But sometimes people just nitpick to nitpick. Be very careful. And by the way, we all nitpick. It's human nature to nitpick. How many of you are good at it? I can be good at it. Seriously, I can nitpick. Okay, and the rest of you aren't raising your hands, you're lying. Okay, so I'm going to nitpick on you, liar. Yeah, but let's not buy into the nonsense. What did they criticize? They criticized his motives. You know why you're here? You want to be a king. You want to get the wall set up, you're going to rebel against the kingdom, and you're going to be a king. Well, people criticize motives all the time. What are you guys trying to do with that church over there? Nothing. We're just trying to preach the gospel, get people saved, and do what God wants us to do. There's no big shots here. Okay? It's just, hey, let's get together. Let's do something. Motives. Sometimes people, by the way, be very careful. If I had an issue in the church, if I had an issue with somebody in the church, I would deal with the issue, right? Isn't that how Christians do things? If I don't like Larry, fact of the matter is, I don't. If I have an issue with Larry, I'm going to go, Larry, there's this issue I think between us and, you know, this, and I'm sure that let's get this straight. That's how you deal with the issue, right? But if I go to Larry and say, hey, Larry, let me explain something to you. You're an idiot. Is that the issue? Maybe in his case. John, no. That's not dealing with the issue. That's attacking the person. They weren't dealing with the wall here. They were attacking Nehemiah personally. That's when I don't want to listen anymore. Okay? You understand the difference? If we have, look, you have issues with your family. When you get close to people in the church, you're going to have issues with people in the church. Nothing big, but come on, you get irritated. Deal with the issue. That's the Christian thing. Don't tear down the person. You attack motives. They attacked his message. You know, you have prophets, and they're going around preaching about you. They don't like what's being said because you're making this, that. And by the way, that happens. We need to be very, very careful. We tell a tale. What was their whole problem? Here's their whole problem. they wanted him to come to a meeting. So he wasn't at the wall, and the wall didn't get finished. Okay? Be very careful. Don't listen to criticism. I'll be negative. You know, God has a hate list. It's in Proverbs. 7 of them. The last one is this. He that soweth discord among the brethren. I don't want to be on that list. Okay? Because that's not solving issues. That's causing conflict. And so, as we looked at in Sunday school, if you weren't in Sunday school, that was the issue. The Jews were discouraged, not because of the external opposition, because, man, that was okay. You know, I'll beat up my brother, but if you beat up my brother, I'm going after you. That type of thing. External pressure puts us together. Internal pressure discourages. Okay? So let's work through our issues together instead of fighting each other. And then we see the last thing, and they attacked. They were using the temple. This false prophet who was getting paid said, hey, you know, they're after you, and they're after me too. We better hide in the temple. Well, there's some issues with that. Number one, it was against God's law for Nehemiah to be in that part of the temple. It's probably how he knew that he was a false prophet right off the bat. He's telling me to do something that violates Scripture. But also, it'd make Nehemiah look like a coward. And if after all he's running because he's been accused of these things, maybe they're true after all. They're trying to ruin his reputation. That's what the enemy does. They attack. They attack. Now, give me a couple minutes here. Let's look at the answers. What is the answer to opposition? What are we going to do to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our church, in our lives, individually? Well, he tells us, first of all, don't react. And I sent messengers, verse 3, after they asked them to come to the meeting, and I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? He said, I ain't reacting to your invitation. I ain't going. I'm not going to argue with it. We're done. Thanks for the invitation. But I'm staying here. You see, why would he stay here and not react? Because he had a great work to do. He didn't have time for the petty nonsense over here. By the way, always be concerned when the people that are opposing you all of a sudden want to work with you. They were opposing the whole time, and then they get together and say, you know what, I think we want to cooperate. Okay, that's a time to say, huh? He goes, I'm not, you can say what you want, I'm not reacting. I got a work to do. By the way, there's a work to do. Whether it's in our own personal life, whether it's in the church, whatever, there's something to do. Let's not be sidetracked and react to nonsense. Then you're spending all your, he could have got together and said, I need to write a letter. I need to get the truth out. I got a great work to do. I'm not coming down. Okay, you guys can do what you want. I'm staying on the wall. By the way, people can get so emotional. Their emotional plea gets in our hearts. It's like, man, I know. Don't fall for it. Try to look at the greater picture. Look at those who oppose. They usually aren't doing the things they're supposed to be doing. Now, if Sanballat and Tobiah had been working on the wall for 50 days, and then they came and they wanted to talk to him, that's someone I might listen to. It's like, yeah, we'll talk. Hand me a brick. Or in our thing, give me a screw. Get the screw gun. Okay, we'll talk. These guys were doing nothing. So don't listen to them. They want to criticize, but they weren't doing anything. You know what an armchair coach is? Someone that isn't involved in anything, but they want to tell you what should happen. Why didn't you do it that way? And I want to say, well, why don't you come help us do it that way? But it's easy to criticize but not get involved. So don't react. Next thing is, just don't listen. Don't listen. Verse 8 and 9, he goes, Then I sent unto them, saying, there is no such things as thou sayest, but thou freinest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that it's not done. And that was their goal. Let's weaken them so they don't finish the work. But he says, I ain't listening. I'm not going to react to what you said. I'm not going to the meeting. And the fact of the matter is, you're lying. It's an emotional tirade coming from your heart. You frame them of your own heart. You ever see something and think you and you react to it emotionally and you see something and you think one thing, but it turns out to be something different? Remember about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I was at Chipotle with Jessica and Hannah. And so we're sitting there at Chipotle. We're eating. We sat down. And I noticed to our right, there was this college guy in his 20s and sitting with a couple of girls. And we're sitting there eating. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise. And I'm sitting down. And I look, and this college guy's coming at me. And he has both his hands out. And his face was wet. He's like, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, what a punk. I'm going to fight this guy right here. He's coming right at me. In front of my girls. And God and everybody. And I noticed his face was wet and he had rice on his face. I'm like, I got to get up. I'm sitting down. He got the advantage. And right when he got a couple feet from me, he goes, ugh, ugh, ugh. He spit something out of his mouth. He goes, I'm sorry, man, I was choking. That explained the rice and the drink. He's trying to guzzle the water. I didn't see that. I thought, man, we're throwing down right here, my girls, God, everybody. And this guy was choking to death. He wanted the Heimlich maneuver. My heart lied to me. Now, I'd have done the Heimlich maneuver, but there was some firemen a few rows down, so they would have had to help them with the rest. But we listen to nonsense. Things are built up in our heart. By the way, sometimes when someone's upset about something, don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're feeling. Because sometimes what they're saying is not really what they mean. They're just reacting to their emotions. What are they really saying? Why? What are they feeling? That's a story. But don't listen to it. Letter C. I will say this. Don't ignore. Ignore who? Don't ignore God. He just stops right there. And in verse 9 says, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. We get all upset sometimes and we get discouraged. And all we got to do is look to the Lord. But we don't. We get emotional like people that are trying to oppose us or can't even be just situations that come our way and we get all emotional about it and we're all like frazzled and like, hey, wait a minute. You know, there is a God. Are you with me? And maybe God knows what's going on here. Why don't I stop and talk to him? Lord, what's going on here? But don't ignore that. Keep your relationship with God. That'll help everybody. Once our eyes are off of God, Satan has a true advantage. True advantage. Next, I would say, don't run. Verse 11, he says, and I said, should such a man as I flee? They're going to kill you. They're after you. You better hide. He says, I ain't running. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to flee. I'll take my chances here. Run. What happens when we get emotional? Our emotions get to us and we make bad decisions, usually decisions to quit or back off. I heard someone say one time, never make a decision when you're not in the frame of mind to make a decision. You're overly emotional. Things are going on. I've had people come and they'll do something and say, "What? You know, this was going on in my life and I just decided to do this." And I'll say, why did you decide to do that? I had to do something. It's like, no, you didn't. It's better to do nothing than to do the wrong thing. Why not wait? You know, someone calls, we're fighting and this is going on. I feel like doing this. I need to talk to you right now. It's like, tell you what, why don't we talk in the morning? Give me a call in the morning. And you know what happens in the morning? They have a good night's rest. They apologize to each other and everything is good. And you didn't waste 45 minutes. Okay? Get some rest. Let your emotions simmer down. Let's think about what's going on here. But we react. When we react, we always get in trouble. And by the way, we all want to react. Don't run. You know, we just live in a society where people quit so easy and they run so quickly. The first sign of pressure, there we go. Oh, this is hard. La-di-da. Seriously, it was supposed to be easy. Could you imagine a football team? I didn't know there was going to be guys stopping us. I thought we just ran to the other end of the field. Wow. Snap out of it. Okay? If you're not doing anything, I guess then it's not an issue. Don't quit. So the wall was finished in the 25th day in 52 days. I like this. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. They got discouraged about themselves. Like, man, they actually finished. All this trouble. We tried to stop them. And then it says, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. They had to eventually look at it and say, you know what? That was not an accident that got completed. Their God must have done something. Remember when the Israelites were going to go into the land of Canaan and they were going to take over Canaan? What was one of the things that discouraged all the Canaanites? They heard what God had done. Dried up the Red Sea. You killed those people on the other side of the things, man. We were afraid. It's a shame that they wasted 40 years wandering in the wilderness, accomplishing nothing. And when they go to Jericho, Rahab says, we're scared to death of you guys. We know what your God has done. They had more faith in their God than the Israelites did. But that happened because they accomplished something. Finish what you start. People don't remember starters, they remember finishers. Nehemiah wouldn't have finished. Now I understand it's all in God's providence and God understood all this and Scripture's eternal. I understand that. But if Nehemiah would have allowed himself to be stopped, maybe it wouldn't have happened. Maybe he would just be an obscure footnote in history. Now we understand it's Scripture. I know that. But he finished. He didn't let opposition stop him. And it shouldn't stop us. And I'm not just talking about building that building. I'm talking about everything that's important in your life. You're going to face some type of opposition. Whether it's discouragement, whether it is someone's being critical, whatever it is. And the worst thing you can do is react to it and let it stop you. Go forward and just do what God wants you to do. Don't be backed off the work.